y'all got to stop figuring out all this money stuff because you got to focus on relationships. It's not always about the money and building stronger relationships in the community and not letting always that money get in the way.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I've got Al Nicoletti here. This is going to be a fun one because he's got energy level that is off the chart. So I'm pumped for this. He is a Florida real estate probate attorney. You know, through Florida, he's known as the Prince of Probate, the Probate King. He's a probate attorney extraordinaire. Now, he's got a unique niche in probate real estate issues for inherited property, and he's dominating Florida market. He solves problems in complex probate matters in real estate deals. He's developed a strategy to help probates move fast, move them efficient, and get all of us in the chain here who want to be part of it paid at closing. So it's really exciting. You know, in addition to that, he is well known. He certainly travels and talks to a lot of folks through Florida. He's an educational speaker. He's an influencer, social media content creator. And as like I said, he enjoys speaking at all sorts of things, RIAs, meetings, boot camps, masterminds through Florida to help people talk about this, what we're going to talk about today. Al, how are you?
Neil, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here with you. Honored to be on the Real Grit podcast with you. I've heard so many great things about it. I was so happy we got to connect at the Family Mastermind, and the talent and the level of people that are in that room that Matt Andrews has put together has been amazing. And for him to pull you into that room, we're in that room together. Yeah. Amazing that we got to meet. So I'm so happy to be on the podcast with you.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to have you here because you bring an energy level. I think that just you walk in a room and people are just like, oh, right. My smile just got bigger.
I love it. I've had that energy and I apply it to everything because it's all this stuff that we're doing in real estate and everything. I'm so passionate about it too. And so, I love it and I'm a natural with energy.
Have you been like that? Since being a child?
Yeah, I guess I've always had that kind of energy. I've always had the personality and been able to just be out there. A natural musician, right? Played violin for 15 years. So I think a lot of that's also me on the other side.
Yeah, well, that gives you a stage presence from an early age, does it not?
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you went to school, decided to, to go law school. And then how did you decide you're in law school, when you get out, there's a whole bunch of things one can do with a law degree. Wow. How'd you end up this way?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So like I was just mentioning, I was a violinist for 15 years. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I got out of college, but I knew kind of halfway that I knew music wasn't going to do it, right? So I had to figure out some new medium, or was it going to be medicine? Was it going to be law? So I had the bright idea that if I took my music background and I took my personality and what I'm able to do on the other side of things, that maybe I could go into entertainment law, which was a niche area for me since I had the music background. Yeah. So I said, let's apply to law school. Let's see what happens. Right. Mm. So I get into school and it was nothing like I thought. The whole music industry, the entertainment law industry was like this.
Very thin.
And there was a blue ocean out there with all these other things that you could do. Sure. So get into school, took the bar exam, saw real estate, when I was taking the bar exam as, ooh, this is kind of interesting. Yeah. And eventually took a job. My first job was down in Miami, and I took what I could out of school, right? You take that job and you run with it, get your feet wet, get experience. Yep. And did that, and we were doing foreclosure defense. And at the time, it was kind of more to the end of the 08 era of all the foreclosures and everything. So I got to get my feet wet in some stuff and dabbled in some probate stuff over there. But it wasn't until 2 years later when my best friend, he comes down from Miami, down to Miami, visits with me. And we were talking about all the niches that are in real estate and opportunities that were coming up. And at the time, he was mentioning to me about the probate niche, about, hey, there's, this opportunity that, you can get into when it comes to this stuff. And you find probate when it comes to foreclosures. So at the time I said, you know what? I'll look into it. Let me see what happens.
Yeah.
Nothing ever ended up happening for me for about a year. And a year later, it comes back down. He's like, what did you end up finding out? What was the result? And I still didn't get it, Neil. I still didn't understand like what the opportunity was, right? Yeah. For a lot of us, when we hear about niches and things that a lot of people get into, you really got to really understand the niche. You got to know what's going on. You have to really do some research on it. So
correct.
Did some research on it, found a huge opportunity in the world of probate, in the world of where I could go with that as being the attorney, right? Yeah. So thousands of opportunities, thousands of properties, never even have gone through probate or been through that experience before. So at the time, thought, perfect, let's see what happens. Well, yeah. You know, nothing ever ended up happening when I was in Miami because I was down in Miami that whole time.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden ended up taking a job with him up in Jacksonville. And I remember him saying that if I could do what I did down in Miami, it would be an explosion. It would be, you know, I'd be able to scale it. So I said, you know what? Took the chance, moved to Jacksonville.
Yep.
And fast forward from that point on, 3 years later, between all the speaking events and all the networking events that I went to and really honing in, you know, that's key, honing yes. in on that one thing, on that niche, and really going hard at it and keeping that same message over and over again really started propelling me into a new dimension. And we'll talk about between speaking and social media yeah. and presentations and webinars, just blown it up. And so that's how I really got to this point since law school, was really honing in on what was the opportunity, what was the market going to be like, where are we headed, is there long-term potential mm-hmm. in it, and all that research has culminated into this, I mean, it's exploding right now.
Yeah. Hey, how about this? But Al, I've said the same thing 1,110 times. Nobody needs to hear it one more time. If I'm in the niche, I'm working a niche, I'm saying the same thing over and over and over and over. So the critique I'm wondering is from somebody, you're saying, hey, you got a niche down and you repeat, repeat, repeat. You've got to hit them with the same message over and over. I'm wondering if somebody, if the criticism of that is, hey, I've said the same thing 100 times. Now I should go do something else. I should pivot. I should find a different niche. It's not the same.
No. So I would say keep saying that same message. So here's the result of it. And you'll appreciate it, Neil. And yeah. so your audience will too. So I started with that message yeah. about where probate was going and what the opportunity was. And, you know, in the beginning, it was like, I believed in it. And then I was trying to explain it to people, but they didn't understand. Some people didn't understand it. So then I wondered to myself if I understood what it was, right? So you yeah. get that creeping doubt as like, well, do I understand where this is? Is there really the opportunity?
Right.
Over time, when I kept saying the message,
yeah.
I even had friends from 4 years ago today that tell me, they said, man, you've kept that same message over and over. And what it does is then they go to their friends and say, you got to go check this guy out
right.
because we're seeing it like the yellow car. We hadn't seen it before, but now he said it, we see it all the time. Right. So then it starts this ripple effect of this guy has said it from they keep pointing back to the source,
right?
They keep pointing back to the messenger, and the messenger is the influencer, and the right. influencer is the one that can be the leader. And so that's how I've seen this on my end as, nope, I've maintained it. I keep the message. It doesn't matter if you say it 1,000 times, say it 1,001, 1,002, and keep yep. that same thing going.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. Batch Leads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Yeah, stay on point and continue to carve off your niche and become what you have become, the absolute expert in Florida in probate, period.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just, and it's really, it's a gateway into all the crazy creative title issues that keep coming up, because it really was the gateway. It opened up my eyes to what other situations are happening that aren't being solved that could be used through mechanisms like probate and all the other crazy things.
Right. So let's do this for the audience who, you know, we've all heard of probates, but what does that mean? What's the opportunity from an investor standpoint? Let's talk through that. Maybe just describe at a high level what a probate is, and then let's go into what is the opportunity from an investor standpoint? What does that look like?
Yeah. And I'll just mention we'll start off with distress. So that opportunity is the distress, the concept of that homeowner is in a situation where they don't want to pay the taxes anymore. They don't want to pay that mortgage anymore. Mm. They don't even know if they're going to get the money back for doing all of that. They're done taking care of that house. They're in a position that they want to move on. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is the distress, but also the disconnect from that property, because when you get into probate situations, those heirs, they've moved on, right? That was mom's house, dad's house. Maybe dad's land that he bought on the TV auction that nobody even knew about. They didn't even want to deal with it. Guess what? They want the cash, right? So they don't want to deal with any of those logistics. So the disconnect and the distress is the opportunity, and the fact that some of these things are opportunities, because who wants to go after complicated or, you know, these little puzzles? But I'm here to tell you they're opportunities, because if nobody's going after them, that's where you should go, right? Go where the people are not going.
Right.
And if those are the opportunities, those are huge. But we always start at what it is. And what probate is somebody owned real estate. Mm-hmm. We could talk about all the other things and assets that come up. Yep. But for us, we focus on that real estate side. Right. And the title of that property, the title is in that person's name, right? And when they die, in order to get the title moved over, the assets distributed, we have to file paperwork in court that formally moves it over. Mm-hmm. It's transferring the assets, distributing the assets. So now, if Neil, you're trying to buy that property, guess what? Now the heirs have been figured out, determined, title moves over, and they can now deed out their interest so that you can buy the property, get title insurance, and move on. So it's as simple as a transfer of interest, distributing the interest. So now they can do what they want with that property. They can convey it, they can refinance it, they can mortgage it, they can do whatever they want.
For most folks, it's simple. I'm going to dumb it down, but as simple as connecting with the heirs and then whoever's in charge of, fair enough to say, the estate, the administrator of the estate.
Always. So that's where it gets really interesting. Mm-hmm. Is that with properties that you find, there doesn't always have to be an administrator, what they call personal representative.
Sure.
You may have a situation where you just need all of the heirs. You need everybody to be in agreement or be on board. But that's where I get creative, because sometimes we have that one that doesn't want to be on board with everybody.
Yep.
Right?
You always got the one. Yep.
Always one. That's the name of my book whenever it comes out, right? Yeah. There's always one.
Yeah.
So whenever we have that, we get creative about how do we get around it, right? Or what are the opportunities of being able to solve that issue? Right. So even if we have that situation, we'll find a way, a solution to that. But you have many properties that are primary residences. You got to get everybody. You're going to need everybody. But in the event you can't, there's tools and mechanisms that we could use to get over that.
What have you seen has been the biggest challenge for investors that you connect with in dealing, you know, them buying properties through a probate process? And maybe it's just ending up with the wrong attorney, perhaps, who can't solve some of these things that you've been able to master over a period of time. But what do you see that the investors, where they struggle with the probate success?
That could be one, depending on if it's already in probate and that maybe they're not familiar with it. Like, I actually don't say it too often on episodes, but you brought it out in me for this one, which is there's a difference between attorneys that do probate and the ones that do probate.
No, you're too kind. You're too kind and wouldn't say it. I know, but there are some bad people. Somebody had to graduate last, and then they also don't practice what somebody else specializes in, and they do it dead wrong.
But you know,
you're kind.
Yes. But giving you the lawyer answer right now.
Yeah, fair.
You get into two categories, mm-hmm. the ones that dabble and the ones that do.
Yeah.
And there's a very big difference because right. you ask me how many I've done in the last 3 years, and I'll tell you over 250 probates.
Wow.
You ask somebody that's done it, that dabbles in it. We've done a few. What's a few? Two, three? You know, I mean, really big difference. We've seen an array. Correct. Of different kinds of scenarios, right? So I think that's the first challenge. I think another challenge is understanding, this is something I brought up in some webinars recently, which is the ability of the probate attorney, not only just to see the probate, but to see the close. You can't look at a situation without seeing the end goal, the end result.
Right.
If you show me a deal that you're interested in, I'm not just thinking the puzzle, the front part, I'm thinking the end. So seeing it from the beginning, but seeing the end and how we get there, that's where a lot of the time the investors, you know, they rely on the professionals for that. But I think that's where things get held up because there's so much optimism in the beginning, but there's no thought through the title end about how do you close, right? And even running title situations, getting with the right title companies that are going to not only just run title, and this is where it gets a little deep with probate, Neil. And I love this because, like, I mean, when we find these things, we want to talk about what the problems are.
Yeah.
So one of the problems is when you have a probate and the probate's done, the title moves to everybody.
Yep.
Well, what happens when that happens? Liens start attaching to all of these interests.
Yep.
So what if this one's got an IRS lien of $100,000, just kills the whole deal?
Correct.
So working with title companies are going to think proactively about not just what the deceased had as liens and mortgages and back taxes. Yeah. That's all great. What happens when it's after? And so it's pulling more lien searches on that end. That's huge too. And then you just get complicated puzzles like knowing what to look for on deeds and how to analyze maybe what's going on and not just spitballing and guessing that this is the person you need and listening to the professionals too. So like we saw a deal recently where the husband was on title and it was a primary residence. And when that happens and only husband or only spouse is on title and there's a spouse and children, now you have a situation where you're going to need the spouse and the children on board.
Correct.
Well, at the time it seemed that the spouse was just convincing enough that she was the only one on contract when they needed the kids too.
Yeah.
They go to closing. Guess what happens?
Yep.
Kids don't want to sign. Mm-hmm. Right. And so now they're like, we can't close. What do? It's not happening. So, you know, working with professionals that see that kind of end in sight, like making sure you get the contract up front, making sure you get the title work up front, all of that stuff is huge.
Yeah. Is most of the work that you do, is an investor bringing a transaction to you, or are you typically doing it from, you know, your work in the community so that families reach out to you proactively as part of their estate planning or, you know, as part of the probate process to clean up an estate?
No. So the transactions are really coming to me because of just being able to not only the, you know, and this is really the big draw is that I'll wait until that closing, that title closing to get paid.
Wow.
Even if it's six probates, I had that one deal with six probates on one piece of property. And you know what, Neil, we still waited until the end because we know the ultimate goal. We know what's coming and what the options are and opportunities are. But not only that, it's getting them done efficiently. And so the problem investors find is when they pick up this deal, like Neil, you go to the public record and, oh, wow, that's a nice piece of property. It's on the beach. It's in probate. And you reach out and you look at the file and it's been in probate for 2 years. And you're thinking to yourself, well, why is it in probate for 2 years? And you could be thinking that's normal. To me, that's super abnormal because when I tell you that those probates could be done in a matter of weeks to a couple months, and even if it was expensive and a little bit more cumbersome, maybe 6 months, 5 months, why is it there for that long?
Right.
And so that's the draw. That's why all the opportunities have really been coming, just because it's a problem-solving opportunity to help figure out those deals.
It's amazing to me that you will wait to closing to get comped. I mean, it tells me that from an investor standpoint, and you specialize in Florida, from an investor standpoint, you know, they're bringing in the quarterback to get this thing over into the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, here's the thing. You don't want to have to pay the money up front if you're not sure what's going to happen, right? Do you want to foot the bill? Do you want to be left holding the bag at the end if you don't know what's going to happen?
Nobody. I don't want to gamble.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So if you don't have to, and you work with people that'll say, I've seen this situation before. These are who you need. This is what the flow is going to be like. And you know, it's going to be a great deal. You're like, ow, we're going to net over six figures on this one deal. Mm. Right. So the equity is not a question. What the payment is not a question. It's a matter of moving it through, getting it done. I mean, no risk is amazing.
Yeah. That's really incredible. What were you going through to make the decision to move to Jacksonville from Miami? You probably had some success there in Miami in terms of what you were doing, but what ultimately was that pushed you over the edge to make that transition and then really specialize, which for so many people is a challenging thought process because it means limiting oneself?
It's a great question. I think it's three things. I think it's, I grew up in Miami. So I knew that I needed to see a different opportunity. I think it was money because I was really that first year, I only made like 11K being in that firm, like 1 year, right? Coming out. I mean, it's crazy. I'm open book when it comes to this stuff, you know, because it's like the, you know, when you're coming out of school as being a lawyer, you got to take that job. You got to run with it. You got to get your experience in it. But it wasn't doing a whole lot in the beginning. But then I'd say when it came to a lot of the practice of what I was doing, I think it was also message. So I think it was Miami, money, and message. Wow, I didn't think about that. Because message, right? You want people to connect with you and what you're doing. And when your message isn't clicking, are you with the right crowd? Are you with the right people?
Right?
It's like all of us in what we're doing in the real estate community. We're all together because we understand the message. We understand what's going on and what the end goal, the long-term vision is.
Yeah.
But you got to find that area. And I don't think the message was there where I was. And of course, you know, you want to make some money while you're doing it too.
Right.
But I think it was everything.
This would be a takeaway for everybody listening. How did you hone your message?
Wow. How did I hone my message? Mm-hmm. I think it took time to refine what it was in the beginning. I knew what the topic was. Yeah. Then I almost had to build out the message over time through either PowerPoints or content or scenarios. And I think it took experience to build that message. Yeah. But I think it all went back to the beginning, the root about there was an opportunity in this real estate market where so many sellers had never gone through a probate situation and they needed somebody to come in and be able to solve that in order for them to offload it. So I think when I stuck to that theme about that message and the opportunity, I think over time that led to more cases. Then more cases led to more stories, and more stories led to more wow and like, wait a second, this is the opportunity and options that we can find ourselves in. So honing in on the message goes back to, I think, the root of why you started doing it. And I think you stick with that because that will lead you to the full message and the long-term vision.
Yeah. What fuels you personally?
I just have a passion for being in this real estate market and real estate niche. And I know that I'm meant to really spread that message and be out there. You know, it's interesting. I love being around people and I love connecting and building relationships and growing together with people. And, you know, especially in the real estate market, real estate community, it reminds me of the music world. We were really tight knit in that music world for so long. And then, you know, once you're out of school, everybody disperses, you know, then everybody's finding out their way. And I think it's just being surrounded by people that are like-minded, that understand that there's relationships and building out systems and building out a vision together, that really drives me. And just being around amazing people that get it, want to do business, want to work together and grow.
Where are you headed in your business world?
You know, Neil, great question, because this was something we were talking about backstage, but where it's going is, you know, in the last year, I left the law firm I was at back in March 2021. And crazy that that all happened when it did, because it was the timing of it, how it all went through. And then I went out on my own virtually, right? I'm actually a virtual law firm. I work out of home. All my assistants work out of home. Yeah. We do everything electronically. So how to develop into a system of, virtual. But what's happened recently is that the cases they've doubled and tripled.
Wow.
My intake. Yeah. If you saw my calendar, Neil, I was doing all my calendaring and I don't even have a CRM. You're probably like, that's insane. I don't even have like a case management system to do all that stuff. But if you saw my calendar now about what's going on, I literally have 30-minute blocks throughout the whole day on Monday, Tuesday, and I'm doing the intake. So my time is now on intake because that's what I'm good at, really connecting with the sellers, connecting with you all, connecting with investors. That's where I love being, is the connections. Yeah. But where's my time now? Not. It's not in the doing the work. It's, now I'm being pulled into, more intake, but I want to do my marketing. I want to do my videos. I want to do my email stuff and all my marketing. And now I have to change my systems, right? So now it's not just, the answer is not just always hiring more, but bringing in team members that can really help fine tune your management system and, start moving cases along. So we're working on that right now, where we're going to figure out a new system about management and lead flow and task management, so that I'm literally just pumping things out. So now my time can be on the things I should be on, I need to be on.
Right.
And less on all the stuff that, I was starting to stay up until 4 a.m. again. I felt like I was back in law school like about 2 months ago.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com. Incredible. You've hit on something so many real estate investors live as well, is when you're a business owner, you wear many hats. And then at times you wear every hat. So you've got to figure out as they go, and then what you're doing, identifying, how are we going to break things down? What's the process going to look like? And then strategically adding people, right? The right people as you go.
Yeah. Strategically adding the right people, not just anybody, but finding out, you got to find people that are really good on the phone. They're really good about getting back to people, getting people on the calendar or drafting or getting things out in a timely manner, right? Like, you're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur, and we have that mindset of next. Yep. So we know what we want next, but you got to find the right team that molds that. So it's definitely a challenging time right now until we get the systems and processes in. But I know that once we do, that's when I'm about to go, boom, here, and it's going to be even more than it was before.
Yeah. What's one habit you cannot live without?
That's a great one. I would say, I don't even know if I have a habit I do on a daily basis that I get into. I mean, I just say just getting out more. I started realizing that, stop being inside all the time and actually like get out and start, going for walks and getting out there. I think I'm developing that into a habit of being outside more.
That's real when your business is from home.
Right.
I mean, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's probably the best way to talk about it is, for a long time, even last year, I found myself always inside, even on weekends. Now, like I just flew to Arizona to see Brent Daniels. I just was traveling around to go do things. And it's now a nice way of like constantly clearing your head, right? And I think a lot of people don't take the time to actually just go outside, clear their head. And because it's just so many things can happen through text and phone and email. Yeah. So that's a new thing I've been doing, is just getting out more.
Yeah, no, that's great. I want to move on to my final segment, what I call 4 for impact.
4 for impact.
Your favorite quote, what is it?
You know, so I actually heard a great quote this past weekend at the Hero event from Ron LeGrand. And it really hit me, and I think it hit a lot of people, when a bunch of them were up there. It was like Lou Brown, Ron LeGrand, Larry Pino, Robert Allen. They were all up there, the legends of real estate.
Yeah.
And something came up about money and, you know, making money in the business. And I remember Ron grabbed the microphone and he said something to the tune of, you know, y'all got to stop figuring out all this money stuff, because, you know, you got to focus on relationships. It's not always about the money. And sometimes that money stuff can really get in the way of relationships, and don't let it get in the way. And it's focusing on the relationships in your business, right? And building stronger relationships in the community, and not letting always that money get in the way.
Yeah.
And I think that really hit, because everybody's trying to do deals. Everybody's trying to do deals all the time, but this is more important.
The money's not the thing. The money's the outcome of the thing.
Right.
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 But people have a different focus on it. They put it backwards.
Yeah. And you want to focus on this more and go deeper with people. Sure. And right. And I think I've realized that even over the last 6 months, even being at the masterminds and stuff, that this is the time where you build the bonds that last a lifetime.
Yeah.
And this is what matters even more. I mean, when I was first on podcast and doing my podcast, my mindset at the time was, you know, I want to put a podcast together, bring so many people on, talk, pump it out there.
Yeah.
But now I treat it as like, this is the special opportunity where we get to sit down and talk and really see what's going on in everybody's day and in their business. And like, this is what matters.
Well, there's very few things more valuable than one's time. So when we get to share this time together and have a real conversation, it's pretty valuable.
Yeah, for sure. And this is great.
What do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it's a matter of not having the right team in place, not having the right systems in place, and also, you know, sometimes working with the right team to get you there. Like the other day, I had a great phone call with an investor, and he called me and he was thanking me. He was thanking me for the probate we solved like about a year ago. And I was like, what file was this? Like, which one is this? And I said, what was so important about that one? Yeah. He goes, let me tell you, Al, that was our first deal ever.
Ever.
Ever. And I said, really? He goes, let me tell you, I don't know if we didn't have you on that deal, I don't know if we would have gotten past that. Yeah. And so we did that deal. And you know what? Since then, they've done 10 more deals.
Wow.
It was like the deal that catapulted it and went 10X for them.
Yeah.
So I think working with the right professionals and having no fear, you know, everybody could be nervous about being in the game and doing it, but you gotta really just put your foot forward, get into it. You may not know what's going to happen, but I think it's just going into the unknown and expect the unexpected and just go for it.
Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
You know, outside of real estate, it's been real estate ever since the last couple years.
You know, I'm going to make you give me an answer. You got to give me an answer. Otherwise, we're going to have to find a hobby for you.
It's traveling more.
Yeah,
That's what I've been doing more. Getting out, going around. And I love speaking too.
I love
speaking at events.
And you're excellent. Do you still play music?
So I haven't picked up the violin in, gosh, it must be at least 6 years.
Yeah.
No, but it's got to be more than that. It's going to be more than 6 years. But, I always put it back on the podcast shelf. But if I picked it up, I could probably play a little tune here and there, but not nowhere near the skills and skill level like I had when I was playing. But you don't lose that if you're a musician. You don't lose that ability to go back to the violin and start thinking through the tunes and the notes. Yeah. It kind of just stays with you. It's the one instrument I was able to pick up and play because I couldn't do piano.
Okay. What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Giving back, but finding out how you can help others with what they're working on. And it's I think it's approaching going into relationships with how you can help them and maybe connecting them with people that they are looking for. I've learned that I'm actually more well connected with knowing people than I thought. Yeah. A lot of people come up to me and they say, Al, you know, like everybody. And I'm like, well, I guess I know a lot of people,
yeah, right.
But they may not know other people and they may be looking for different resources. So sure. My impact is the ability just to know where the connections are, maybe who they could be looking for. And finding out what they want and my, you know, and the other thing I'm working on is going into more of the charity world, giving back, whether it's eventually, you know, things with canines and stuff like that. I've had German Shepherds forever. So I love animals and
so just, great.
You know, giving back. Yeah. To charity is like been a big thing too.
That's terrific. For people, if they want to find you, they want to follow you, they want to learn about your podcast, but you know, how can they track you down?
So they can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. I'm on Spotify and iTunes. You can find the Al Nicoletti Show live Wednesdays at 8 p.m. But I drop micro content all the time. Like I'm doing things on the golf course and the beach. And I love doing stuff like that too, Neil. That's like a ton of fun. Like I find that's also like kind of downtime for me too, because it's stepping away from work. And it's doing something I want to do. And I learned, like, I love being on the camera and doing, making those videos. Yeah. So they could find all that stuff on Instagram, at Attorney Nicoletti, on YouTube, under Al Nicoletti. And just tons of content out there.
I love how you do so much live. It's very impressive.
Thank you. So I feel like I don't. I think that's the drive and the mentality is like, you know how you say, oh, I don't post enough. And somebody would say, Neil, you post plenty.
Right.
And you're like, I don't post enough. I feel the same about like, I think that I'm not doing enough on the lives, which is the driver to doing more. And when you do more on social media and you're putting yourself out there, people love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'll make sure we get the, all the links in the show notes below for anybody to track you down then and connect and follow you. Your ability and your sweet spot, and I agree with you, it is a tremendous area of opportunity that you've specialized in helping investors all through Florida. And it's cool to hear what you have to go through on an ongoing basis, because every state's a different in terms of how that probate process works. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's always a work in progress. I mean, we're always trying to figure out new systems, new ways, different things. I mean, we even had one case where we thought it was going to be no heirs. And all of a sudden came back and sure enough, here they are, you know? So you never know what you're going to see in this world. And that's why you just always have to expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
And that's real estate, right? It's not always going to be black and white. I mean, there could be gray, but you got to be ready for the gray and know that you can embrace it and take it on.
Yeah. No, it's exciting. Al, I really appreciate you taking the time to connect up here. It's a fun conversation. I love talking to you every time I get the chance to get connected with it. So thanks for your time. I know you got a very busy schedule, so I appreciate you making some time for me.
No, Neil, thank you so much. And I'm so happy to be on Real Grit. And, you know, to your audience out there, just, you know, take it head on. You can do it. You can really get into the real estate world and just take it head on and make it happen. And you can do it. So, Neil, thank you so much for having me on your show. I loved it.
It's my honor. Hey, for everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time. If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.